Our scripture reading this evening comes to us from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And just a quick comment before we read there. Isaiah 55 comes right after Isaiah 53, and there, of course, we find the story of God's suffering servant, the servant who is come to bring salvation to the world, and we find him suffering and dying and taking the sins of his people upon him in Isaiah 53. And the reason that's significant to this passage is all the blessings that we find here are ours because of the suffering of the servant, who, of course, we believe to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So with that in mind, let us attend to God's word. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you promised to work through your word, and we ask that you would now. Pray that you would speak in this time by your Holy Spirit through your servant's mouth, and that you would give us eyes, ears, hearts to see, to hear, to understand. All this we pray in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Well, I love free food. One of the many reasons I'm bummed that I can't be at RTS in person right now is that on a weekly basis, I would get free lunch either through a faculty forum or from a ministry lunch, and I can't have that right now, and I miss it. Even more than those free lunches, I love it when we have our fellowship luncheons here at BPC. And I'm bummed because we weren't able to go to the last one, which was in March. But there, you're not just getting a free meal, it's like you're getting a free feast. Everyone comes and brings food, but we all get to enjoy a feast. Well, tonight, we are receiving an invitation to a different kind of feast. The food is free, but a different kind of food. And we'll look at this passage like you would look at an invitation that you'd get, say, for a wedding in the mail. So we will look at that invitation, and as we do, we'll see who it's from and who it's to. We'll see what we're being asked to do in this invitation. We'll see what kind of banquet we're invited to. We'll see what we need to do to RSVP. And finally, we'll look at the signature at the bottom of the invitation. So to start with, let's take our envelope and we'll look at this invitation. You get a piece of mail out of the mailbox and you want to know, who's this from and who's it to? Well, who's it from? It's clearly from God. This whole chapter is actually written in the first person as though God is speaking to us. And who's it to? Is this piece of mail to me, to my wife, to my kids, to the person who lived in our apartment last year or 3 years ago? Well, it says at the very beginning of our chapter, this invitation is to everyone. Which means everyone who's watching this now or in the future, if you've been a Christian for 50 years or for 5 minutes, or if you aren't a Christian at all, if you are in elementary school or middle school, high school, college, if you've grown up inside the church or outside of the church, if you're walking with the Lord or if you're walking away from the Lord and from the church, wherever you're from and whatever you've done, this invitation is for you. And it's especially to those who thirst. We see verse 1, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is for people who know they're empty. It says this is for those who do not have any money. It's for those who know they're poor. For those who know they're, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, those who know they're poor in spirit. It's for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and know they don't find it in themselves. It's for those who are sick. Those who, as Jesus said, labor and are heavy laden. And if you notice, on the front of the bulletins at BPC every week, we invite these same people to come to our church. Maybe you look past it every week because you're so familiar with the bulletin, but let me just read what it says on the front of our bulletins. To all who are spiritually weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who struggle and desire victory, to all who sin and need a Savior, to all who are strangers and want fellowship, to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and to whoever will come, this church opens wide her doors and offers her welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone receives this invitation. And now that we know this invitation is for us, we open the piece of mail and we look inside and we see what this invitation is calling us to do. Often at the beginning of a wedding invitation, say, the first thing you read is that so-and-so invite you to celebrate their wedding with them. Or Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so invite you to the wedding of their daughter to Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones. Where they request the honor of your presence, sometimes it says. But you'll notice this invitation that we have here, it's a little more urgent. It's not necessarily a request for our presence. It's an urge for us to come. And first it addresses the thirsty. Come to the waters. If you need water, come and drink water. It addresses the poor. It says, those without money, come, buy, and eat. Those who are poor get to come to this banquet. And they get to truly buy and own what is at this banquet. But the economy at this banquet is a bit strange. Imagine you need a house. But you're not necessarily looking for a house. You're just walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden, this realtor calls you and calls you to come into this house that you're walking by. You're surprised, but you go in, and as you're there in this house, looking around this house, you realize this house is perfect. It fits all my needs. It's in great condition. And you get done with the tour, and the realtor asks, well, do you want to buy? And you're thinking about it, and so you start, maybe you pull out your checkbook, and the realtor says, no. You don't need money to buy this house. And then you look confused at the realtor, and you say, well, what's the price? And the realtor says, price? There is no price. It's a perfect house. This isn't a scam. You can buy it without money, without price. It's yours. This house is incredible, and it's absurdly free. And everything at this banquet, likewise, is incredible and absurdly free. Well, what is at this banquet? What is so satisfying? What do the thirsty get to be satisfied with? What do the poor get to buy and own? We read this invitation and we find that this banquet is a banquet for our souls. Verse 2, we see, it says, listen diligently to me and eat what is good. The way we eat at this banquet is we listen, we take things to heart. Verse 3 says, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. This feast doesn't just feed our stomachs, it gives life to our souls. This invitation that we have received is the very call of the gospel. In this banquet, God is offering to us the free gift of salvation and new life in Christ Jesus. As the canons of Dort say, God seriously promises eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and to believe on him. Well, as the gift that we see here is life, it is fitting that the first food or drink mentioned is water. Water gives us life. Water sustains life. And it's not necessarily very exciting fare. That's not what you would think is the best thing to be had at a banquet. But have you ever had one of those moments where you realize just how great water is? Maybe you're working outside in the sun on a hot day all day, and you come in, you get cool water. It's so refreshing. Or maybe you're playing a game. You're in some sort of athletic competition. You get water afterwards. Or maybe you're like Abigail and I during this time where we're shut in. We just wake up and we start working in our house, and we just go to work, and we're sitting around, and around 3 o'clock, we look up and we realize, I haven't had any water today. I am thirsty. As I was writing this sermon several times, I would be writing about being thirsty, and all of a sudden I would realize, I haven't drunk any water. I'm thirsty. So then we pour ourselves some water, and take a sip, and the water starts sliding down your throat, and you realize this is one of the greatest things God has ever made. If that's true about water, it's even truer about God. There is truly nothing better than God. And likewise, what I said about Abigail and I is often so true about us regarding our relationship with God. Do you catch yourself going through your day and you get to a certain point and you realize, that's what I'm missing. I haven't been with God. I haven't been drinking from the living waters today. God, the infinite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the source of all life. And we forget so easily to come to him. But Christ still does promise to us life and fresh grace for us if we come to him. Matthew 28, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He refreshes us. John 10:10, he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And we heard what this abundant eternal life is last week in Mantle's sermon from John 17, verse 3. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This life on offer at this banquet, it is a participation in a relationship with God the Father through God the Son, in the loving bond of God the Holy Spirit. And it's a source of life that we need to come to over and over again and again. In times like these, when things can feel so stale so easily, the words of the Psalms should be on our lips. I think of Psalm 42, verse 1. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Or Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Outside of Jesus Christ, we live in a dry and weary land. But when we come to him, we find water. We find life. And besides water that is on offer at this banquet, there is wine and milk. And, of course, in the Bible, wine makes the heart glad. And milk nourishes us. And both of these we, too, find in Jesus. He nourishes us. He makes our hearts glad. I'm looking forward to the time when we can be back together for many reasons, but one of them is that we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together again. In the Lord's Supper, our Westminster standards say that when we partake of the bread and the cup, we are by faith, we spiritually receive and feed upon Christ crucified and all the benefits of his death. And those benefits include adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. He is our Father. We are his children. It includes justification. We are made right with God. And it includes sanctification. We are set apart for God, and we grow in holiness, grow in godliness and good works. And from those, we have even more benefits. We have assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance in that grace to the end of our lives. It's Westminster Shorter Catechism 36. All of this is ours at this feast if we come. It is ours in Christ alone, the suffering servant who loved us and died for us, bearing our sin on the cross. You'll notice Jesus Christ is the substance of this feast. But not just Jesus Christ is present at this feast. Every member of the Trinity is involved and has a role in this banquet. God the Father sets the table. God the Son is the feast on the table. And God the Holy Spirit serves us food from the table. This feast is a feast of love, hosted by love itself. And this is the banquet we're invited to. Well, if this is the banquet we're invited to, how do we RSVP? You get an invitation, and in it says, You have to RSVP by, sometimes you have to text your response to someone. Sometimes you have to go on an online website and submit your response there. Sometimes you have to send it, of course, by mail. Well, in this case, in this invitation, we actually have to RSVP a little more directly than that. We have to RSVP directly to God. Verses 6 and 7, we read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." To RSVP to this banquet, we have to repent. Lest we think that we can enjoy all the benefits of God's free grace and live however we want, we are reminded that the gospel calls us to repent. And that's not a fun word, repentance. When we think of the word repent, we might think of an angry street preacher who just says, "Repent, for the end is near," who just shouts condemnation and no grace. Or even thinking of from the Bible, we might think of John the Baptist, who was kind of a weird guy. He was clothed in camel hair. He ate locusts. And that was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But just a little while later in all the Gospels, when Jesus comes and he starts his ministry, his message is exactly the same in that respect. His message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message is, repent and believe the gospel. Whether you are a Christian or not, this is the call of the gospel upon our whole lives. To repent, to be living a life of faith and repentance. And repentance involves multiple things. Number one, it involves God opening our eyes to the reality of our sinful condition. We see that in verse 2, where God is reasoning with us. He says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy?" God's reasoning with these hungry, poor people, and he says, "Can't you see all the money that you do have, you're spending it on things that you think are bread, but they're not. They won't feed you. All these things that you think you'll be satisfied by, but they won't satisfy you. All these things might have a right place in your life, but all these things we usually use to block out God in our lives. And they become their own sorts of gods in our lives. But God, we see, is gracious. He reasons with us. He shows us. He opens our eyes. He helps us see our sin. And as God opens our eyes, we respond by crying out to God. As it says, seek him. We call upon him. Notice, when we're seeking him and calling upon him, we are dependent upon God, even in our act of repentance. In our act of turning away from sin, we call upon God. We seek him. We need him. And as we repent, there are both positive and negative aspects to it. Negatively, we turn away from sin. It says, let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. In repentance, when we turn away from sin, it's not turning away just from the things around us. Sometimes we need to. But it's deeper than that. It goes into our heart. We have to recognize that we are wicked, and that our ways are wicked. The things we do are wicked. We have to recognize that our thoughts are unrighteous. We have to confess that sin is not just outside of us, impacting us. Sin is in our hearts, flowing out of our hearts. And we have to confess that to God. But we don't just stop there. We don't just turn from one thing, a bad thing, We turn from sin, but we also turn to God. That's the positive aspect of repentance. We turn to God. We return to the Lord. And we do that not in fear. We do that not waiting for God to drop the hammer on us. We do that in faith. We do that trusting that what God says is true, that when we return to the Lord, He will have compassion on us. And when we return to our God, He will not just pardon, He will abundantly pardon. This is our RSVP. This is how we reserve a spot at this table. We come to Him in repentance. And it says the RSVP by date is now. ASAP. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. There will be a day when God cannot be found. But today is a day when the gospel is proclaimed. So respond to His call in faith and repentance now. Even if you've come to Christ, even if you've given your life to Him, come again. Be refreshed. Be filled. Keep coming to drink from the waters of life. And for those who have come, and you receive this RSVP, you know, when you get an RSVP, you usually get the option, you're asked if you want to bring your plus one. Well, we too, we get a plus one. We get a plus two, plus five, plus 100. Our role, when we get this invitation and we respond to it, is to bring as many people along with us. That is what we're called to do. At the very end of Scripture, we see Revelation 22:17. John echoes this call to come. He says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Until our Lord Jesus comes again, we are inviting people by the power of the Holy Spirit as a church to come. This is our call. Because the feast is happening now. The Father has laid the table with Christ's body and blood, and He's drawing people to Him by His Spirit. There is always enough food, and there is always one more seat. And He will satisfy our hungry souls. And that is the goal of our repentance. It's not just so that we wallow in our sin and feel bad about ourselves. It's so that we turn back to God and that we get to enjoy this feast He's given us. We get to enjoy grace and communion with God. The goal of repentance is increased love for Christ. Well, and there's one last thing on this invitation. It's a signature, and I recognize not all invitations have a signature at the end, but this one does. And when we look for a signature, we're not just looking for a name. We already have seen the name on the envelope on the outside. God is the one who has sent this invitation, but when you look at a signature, you're saying this is authenticating this invitation. This is how we know we can trust the invitation. How do we know that this invitation is good? That if we come to God, if we come confessing our sins and putting our faith in Christ, that He will let us in. How do we know God is telling the truth? Well, there are two things that this passage says authenticate this message. Two things are the character of God and the character of His Word. Verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is not like us. Our ways are wicked. His ways are perfect. Our thoughts are unrighteous, but His thoughts are holy. And how does that help us trust this? Well, what they're saying and what God is saying in verse 8 and 9 is one of the ways that God's ways and thoughts are not like us is that He is far more gracious than us. He is far more loving and forgiving than we are. And He's perfect, and part of that perfection means He can't lie. So you can trust because of the character of God. And lastly, you can trust this because of the character of God's Word. His Word is like rain, it says in verse 10 and 11. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. His word is like rain. Rain cannot help but water the ground. It gives life. It sustains life. And in Isaiah's day in Israel, they depended on the rain to live. And God's word, likewise, brings life. And in Isaiah's day and in ours, we can depend upon it for our life. Because God's word accomplishes what He purposes. You can trust God's word, God says, because He promises to work through His word. Just as the whole Trinity is involved in setting the banquet, so the whole Trinity, the whole triune God, is involved in this invitation, which itself is God's word. God the Father, He sends the invitation. God the Son delivers the invitation. And God the Holy Spirit enables us to respond to this invitation. And where God has promised to work, you can trust that He will. You can trust that this invitation is true. Because you can trust the character of God and you can trust His word. So come, buy and eat. Listen diligently and eat what is good. Hear that your soul may live. Come and enjoy the free food and fresh grace that are in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your thoughts are not our thoughts and Your ways are not our ways. We thank You that You are gracious and that You have sent us this invitation. Father, I pray that for those of us who are in need of fresh grace, that they would come and be filled up, that they would drink new water from You, that they would come to You. And I pray for those of us who have never known You, that they would come and believe and drink for the first time from this fountain. Father, I pray that You would please help us as we go out from here to remember that we have a call to call others to come. Father, I ask that as we go out from here, that we would go out with joy and that we would be led forth with peace, that You would lead us and give joy to our hearts. All this we pray in Your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.